Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Catch with John Fisher on Blog Talk Radio, connecting life to faith.
We're just trying to get it together, trying to help their fellow man, hoping we can make it.
Connecting, did you hear that? Connecting life to faith. That's what we're all about here, making connections and making our faith real in terms of the life we live on the planet every day, so that our faith, our spirituality, our Christianity doesn't happen one day a week in a building somewhere, but it happens to us every moment of every day, and we're learning how to integrate our life with what we believe. And that's what makes this exciting. And we love the guests we have here on Blog Talk Radio, and our guest today is actually not new to some of you who have been following us for a while, because we've had him two or three times. But it's very exciting to have him back again. I'm not sure that we've had him since we almost lost him. I mean, that's really true. And it's really with joy that I bring back on to Blog Talk Radio our good friend Dan Russell. Dan, welcome back to Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, it's great to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Yeah. Well, Dan now lives in Santa Fe, New Mexico, in a very cool house, and I got to visit there, although he wasn't there, but his lovely wife was, and Chandler and I spent a great time with her there, and he's been through an awful lot in the last few years, and we're going to find out just what he's doing now. Dan's had a career as a music writer, producer, mainly, and promoter, and he's promoted concerts in New England, where he used to live, and on a regular basis. He was really into it in the 80s and 90s there, on till the present, he's been doing the Soul Fest, which is a summer festival there in New England, and draws thousands of people, and is a fantastic experience. He's about ready to sell that off and let somebody else take it, and see what becomes of that. But we can talk a lot about music, because that's what Dan is all about, really, from so many different angles. I don't know where to begin, except maybe with your stroke and your recovery, and because I don't think we've had you on since that. And how are you doing? How are you doing these days? How's your health? And I understand that you're playing songs again and recording, and that's just really exciting. Tell us about it.
Well, I had a deep brain stroke, so my autonomic nervous system got wiped out, and as well as 350 muscles. So it was about 16 weeks between two hospitals just to get, graduate from being an infant again to being a one-year-old. And,
wow.
And I think I've been stuck in the terrible twos for a while, but that's something my wife is patient with. But I think the stroke was as challenging as it's been physically. It's sort of a blessing because it gets your attention. You know, it's one of those things where you can't. It's surreal. You have people staring at you and looking at you and wondering if you're going to wipe the drool from your mouth. But eventually, you get that under control and you start, reassessing. Everything you have in your life, and so it's good. I mean, coming out of that stroke, I ended up sort of rededicating my life to the Lord and getting baptized again.
Yeah.
So it's been much more visceral. End up taking stock in what you have now, and you don't rest at all on anything you've saved up. I had to make a choice early on in the hospital to either be bitter or be grateful, and I had a stack of reasons to be bitter. Being stuck in a hospital room that was late April 2020 and just all the COVID insanity started to avalanche.
Oh, yeah.
The nurses and doctors didn't know their left foot from their right foot, and things were changing. And it's just the cognitive dissonance, just to have doctors come in and say things to me that defied common sense and logic, but was flush with fear. Fear that they'd get fired unless they, made you do X, Y, Z because of the new mandates, or afraid that they were going to kill you for doing it. So, I mean, it was quite a strange time to be in my little fishbowl of a body peering out through the glass and seeing the panic unfolding and seeing a lot of illogical things happening. I fortunately had a great doctor who had held on to his common sense. When I would ask questions, because you're on your back and you're looking at TV and you're seeing everybody around you panicking. I think we had 60 COVID patients in the wing next to me, but there was only one dining hall between the two wings. And so eventually people that had COVID would be sitting right beside me ask them what's going on. And I would hear a completely different version of reality and truth from the people that had COVID from the nurses and doctors. That was the beginning of the whole process, and I got through all that by the grace of God and got back up on my feet. But I lost my left side. One of the therapies that I was given by my son and a guitar player that's has a big band in this world, he said, twice a day for 30 minutes, put headphones on, turn the football game up loud, and get someone to put a guitar in your lap and don't listen to what comes out of it. That was 18 months of doing that. I spent the first several months just trying to bounce my left hand up to the guitar neck, and eventually I could hold on to it, but no left-right brain communication, so I'd slap the strings and ignore any indication of anything as a result of what I was doing. I was focused on football, And my wife recorded a few things. And after about a year of doing that all the time, some loops, some musical loops would emerge. And my right hand, I could play, you know, arpeggios. I could move a pick. Mm-hmm. But my left hand, I had essentially two fingers that were had come back. The other two fingers were still on vacation somewhere. So, you know, the devil was there right there the whole time saying, look, you know, you've done enough. You know, just watch Netflix. There's a lot of good programs on Netflix. Just watch. Just give up. Just watch TV. Mm. And so that was the devil. But as I was saying earlier, the choice for bitterness or gratitude, I chose gratitude. And I realized early on that it is an extraordinary fuel to get through anything. And I found out also that I had to say 10 gratitudes a couple times a day out loud so my ears would pick up on what I'm saying and you could get through the noise that's in my head, because the noise in our head gets overwhelmingly loud. And so I would just say thank you for the pillow, for the fans, for the nurses or whatever, and I just kept on practicing that, and it really turned things around for me. I feel like I'm a real fortunate man, and I have a mentor here in Santa Fe who's 10 years older than me, and he sees me kind of grimacing or limping a little bit. He'll come into me and give me a squeeze that it feels like he's going to break a rib, but he says, hey, you're misunderstanding who God is. God is not someone who just wants you in the past and the things you did. He's going to use every last ounce of energy out of you. So, you know, get over it and until your last breath, you got work to do.
Wow.
So that's kind of the quick back up. So I've been here in Santa Fe, and we love Santa Fe. It was our third choice to move. But this art community here, the topography, God is the mad painter every night, every morning, just painting away and putting us in awe. And so that's inspiring. And we enjoy the people here. Don't enjoy the politics, but enjoy the people.
Well, that's probably pretty much everywhere.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Well, so that's fantastic, Dan. Grateful. Ten things you were thankful for twice a day. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Well,
it's saying your gratitudes. When you start feeling down low a little bit, you say them out loud. You pause, and all of a sudden, at the ninth or tenth gratitude that comes out of your mouth, it's like a ditch digger going home at the end of the day, being outside in the dirt, sweaty, and he comes home and saying the gratitudes is like taking a shower for a ditch digger. You don't go to bed angry. The gratitude washes away the whatever it is that would pull you down.
Wow, that's beautiful. Tell me about the music, your music, and you know, this is so exciting because most of your career you were involved with everybody else's music. Aren't I right about that?
Well, this has been since the beginning for me in the late 70s. You don't make money when you do your own music. and I, you know, having my own band and living in the Harvard Square and playing the midnight headlining spot on a bar gig where people have been drinking since 9, I assess that several times and thought, like, this is nowhere. And then I got offered a job to go on the road doing something for another artist who was a major touring artist. And I thought, like, well, they don't know that I don't know anything, so I'll go out there and fake it until I make it. And I've been able to work with a lot of really gifted artists. And my rule of thumb basically was, look, if they, I don't get paid, I want to work with artists that inspire me. And at the end of the day, that was the way I would choose what. So I enjoyed being out there and also getting a paycheck for serving others. But then I decided to, with the help of my son, when I was 60 years old, working out of L.A., I decided that I wanted to finish all that management-oriented work, and my son talked me into coming home and recording a record. We weren't going to make any money, but we'd have a lot of fun. And I thought, hey, you know, a 24-year-old son going on stage with his dad, that's very unique. And I thought, well, that would be great for me.
Yeah. So that's what got you going again with your own music.
Yeah, I it was always something. I was always writing, and it's always cathartic, and I would work in various capacities with artists. Some of them it would be more producing and writing in the studio. Others it was just going out and putting on the boxing gloves and fighting record companies or whatever, the man was to take away artist rights. And that's kind of what I did. And you mentioned the word career earlier, and career sounds so purposeful, like here we are 25, we're going to start our careers. But for me, it's more accidental. I always have imposter syndrome, finding myself in places, and that song that going in my head, a little loop that says, one of these things is not like the others, one of these things doesn't belong. I always felt like I just work hard, be grateful, and maybe you can get away with it. So I found myself in great places, in great events all around the world, and working with, very inspiring artists. And so I did that. And now I'm at a place where I'm putting most of that aside and still doing some work with some artists if they insist, because it's hard to say no. I've got a record coming out on June 3rd. I had this guy call me about 6 months ago and said we had met back in 1989. He had a band called Modern English. He had a song called "I'll Stop the World and Melt for You." You might have heard that.
He
and I met. I was with another band at that time, and he said he'd been following me. He was familiar with some of the work I was doing, and he knew there was a record I did of my own material in 2017, but I only released like a couple thousand copies, and I did it was like a homespun thing. I didn't get it signed, and he's with Universal Music Group. They own 70% of the music in the world now, and so he gave me a label deal. He said, look, see if it works, this new world that we live in, all digital, no physical. So see if it works, and if it works, then you can have something that your son can take over. And so I'm the guinea pig for this label, which I've resurrected, called Fingerprint Records. The first email with the single comes out on the 3rd of June to 18 million people. And I don't know, I have no expectations. I just lowered expectations because the music business, like the film business, like the art business. It's corrupted, you know. I mean, the devil has been busy since day one, deceiving and, you know, doing his thing. So
yeah,
I'm just hopeful. I mean, I think God is just gonna do whatever happens. He, you know, when you write a song and it gets released, it's out there in the ether. You know, you're way back when you create it, recorded it, and it's months later, and it could be on the other side of this world, and it has an impact on someone's life. It's not you, the writer. It's the Holy Spirit just working through music and doing whatever he does.
You know, Dan, I know you're in your 60s. You don't have to tell me exactly where, but I tell everybody, I just had a birthday, and I tell everybody, they ask me how old I am, and I say, well, I'm 7 years past my expiration date.
I understand that.
But, but you know, here you are, and you're still alive and passionate and creative, and you want to do more music, and you want to record and do that. Where does that come from? What keeps you going?
Well, I don't have the ego to be a front man that swing my guitar around my neck and play with my teeth and behind. I'm not like that, you know. So my son, I'll be on stage with my son. He's the band leader, and he plays every instrument, but he on stage he's just drumming. So he says he drums because he likes to keep an eye on the band, and that's the best place for you to do that. But he tells me I'm too stoic, and I go out there and say hi, I'm polite, and I just personally want to sing the songs and perform them, and I don't have anything to sell. I'm just grateful to be there. And my son will say, Dad, you kind of move a little bit, because the audience, when you move to the right or you dip the guitar or you have some kind of emotional, you know, outside of the box expression, it engages the audience. And I keep saying, I'm not that guy. I enjoy myself on stage. I have fun, usually at other people's expense. But, you know, I can remember now 2 years ago, when I was on stage, I just shredded my meniscus and tore my MCL on my right knee. And that was 4 weeks before the show. And I had to be really careful, because I'm going to walk on stage, and I'm opening for Amy Grant. I'm going to walk on stage to her audience, and they're going to see me limping and think, this guy's clearly drunk, you know. So I hid behind a guitar tech and that carried my guitar out for me, and I cut the guitar on, and I started after the third song. I turned to my left to say to the bass player who sings background vocals, I turned and said, you know, that's really great. Thank you. I'm so glad I get to play these songs with you. And just as I did that, I rotated my right knee, and I went to like level 9 pain, like the kind where you see lights, little stars. And I started moving. I thought I was going to lose my balance and fall down and break my guitar. And everybody on stage, I couldn't see the audience because of the lights. Everybody on stage thought I was counting in the fourth song, the next song. And they started right in, and I was just trying to get my composure and not fall over, and I managed to make it in singing. And when the show was over, I was standing there with my wife and my son and Amy, and my son said, Dad, you remember what you did after the third song, the way you moved? That's what I'm talking about, Dad. That was great. So, you know, playing music can hurt. I haven't evolved, but you know, if I can get out there and start performing again, then I'll move, but it'll be because that's the way my body moves now. I have no choice.
What are your plans for the future? I know you've got some interesting ideas of what you want to create.
Yeah.
With music and video. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, yeah, I was going to do, I'm aiming for 4 different episodes, and each episode consists of 5 songs and 1 piece of film. And the songs sit up in the film, and the film has to, I want the film to be a 24-hour sped up time, so you can, and it's not going to be on my face, you're not going to see me, it's not going to be about how I look or anything like that. It's just going to be like walking through a desert path and seeing in a 24-hour time lapse period the sunrise, you see how the shadows evolve during the day, and when one episode may be all on water, another episode may be from the vantage point of flying, but this first one is desert walking, and I've written the first 2 episodes. That's I've got about 12 songs done for that, and I'm recording differently now. I basically come up with a song and a lyric and a melody, and then I send it digitally to my son, who then tries to bang out the dents and polish it a little bit and make it more cool than it would be if he wasn't involved. So, I always said if I suck musically, it's going to be because my son, because I've just relinquished all control to him, and he's real talented, and so I just trust him implicitly.
That must really be special, working with Jesse like that.
Yeah, it's odd. I kind of think about it when I'm on stage and I'm doing these songs with these people that are 30 years younger than me and so much more talented than me. That's always been one of my secrets, is to make sure out of the 5, 6, 7, or 8 people on my team for a particular project, that I'm unquestionably the least talented and the idiot of the group. So that way I have a better chance of succeeding. So that's how I feel about my band.
That's cool. Somebody wants to get a hold of your new music that's coming out in June, how do we do that?
Well, that's anywhere. Well, I have a website. It's Dan Russell Music. And,
all right.
And I have social media as well. But on June 3rd, it's going to come out on all the digital platforms, wherever you get them. And if someone is into downloading, I think I'll have an option for that too, but my website will be the sort of the landing pad for announcing things or saying what's happening and that sort of thing.
Okay, so danrussellmusic.com.
Yeah, and if anybody has Spotify or YouTube, I have channels, and so when you know that, you probably heard it before. When you subscribe to my YouTube channel, like something, comment on something, all that helps. And Spotify, all that helps. Following
cool.
me in different places. So that's, but I don't know if your listeners know, the world's changed. You don't sell a CD anymore. You don't sell an album anymore. But if you get 1 stream, that means 1 person listens to your song 1 time, they will pay you 0.0065 cents.
Hey.
For the right to, you know, so if you get 1 million streams, you get $6,500. That is if you control all of that. And when you're on a label, you don't. You get half of it or a quarter of it or three quarters of it, depends on your deal. So 10 million streams, you know, it will be about enough money to pay for half of the recording. That's the new age. You know.
Oh, boy. Wow.
Yeah. But I'm not complaining. Again, we got to figure our way through into the future with the way things have dissolved into no record stores, no albums, all that
yep.
stuff. Our cars don't even have CD players, you know. So
That's right. Wow. Amazing. Well, Dan, our time's up. It's always so good to chat with you. And I think bottom line for me is what you told me earlier on about keep going, that mentor you have who tells you right up to the last breath. I like that.
Yeah, we're on a sacred journey. This is a fantastic adventure, and God has never been and will never be diminished, even though this year that we're living in right now is probably the craziest year that we've ever experienced in our life. You know, God is God, and God is love, and he wants a personal relationship with us, and that's something that, like you said in the intro, is 24/7.
That's beautiful. Yeah. Dan,
so
thank you. Thank you for encouraging us. Keep on keeping on, and we'll see you. We'll wait until next time.
Yeah, somewhere down the road. Love to you and Marty.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. All right. Thank you. There we go, folks. You heard it first on Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Catch with John Fisher on Blog Talk
Dan
Radio.
Dan Russell,
connecting
music
to faith.
.com. Follow him. Together. A great guy. You gotta agree with him. All right. We will see you next week. God bless. Gratitude.